Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. Thank you for joining us for this conversation.
Marco.
John, did you buy anything new, technology, some gadgets lately?
I did jump on the bus and we'll check out all the new devices that I have.
Yeah. Were they perfect? You unpacked them, they were ready to go?
They were ready to go. It kept asking me for my password.
Your social security?
And my social security number, which is funny. No, but it was easy. I mean, you just pull it out of the box, plug it in, turn it on, look at the shiny blinking things in the app, and off we go.
And everything is secure.
Everything's secure, straight out of the box. And I'm not talking about for my house. I'm talking about for the office. We're talking about our business gear here, man. So hopefully you're as excited about it as I am.
Totally. No, we're taking a round road to get to this point. But what we're trying to say here is, as we get into yet another misconception for small and medium business when it comes down to cybersecurity, that we just can't simply buy some piece of technology, a computer, a tablet, or anything really that you connect to the network, or even the Wi-Fi, the router itself. You always need to pay attention and don't expect necessarily that. Well, expect that it works, but I wouldn't expect to be secure. And this is exactly what we're talking about today. Misconceptions for small and medium business with the National Cybersecurity Alliance and our friend, Daniel Elliott. Hi, Daniel.
Daniel, hello. Are you on the bus? Are you with us?
I'm here. All
right. you won the wheel? Take the wheel.
Sure. That's actually my retirement plan. Well, it used to be my retirement plan to drive a bus.
I love it.
Not anymore.
we've been on tour, as we were kind of joking leading up to this kickoff here, and we've been in 10 different locations talking about 10 different things today is being the 10th. Very similar to what you did, traveling the nation talking to small medium businesses, and this misconception ended up on the list. Tell us why.
Yeah, this misconception actually stems from a few years back in my experience at a restaurant, oddly enough. Remember those? The waitress was using a new credit card reader at the table to process our payment. And I was with a group of cybersecurity professionals, and someone jokingly asked if that device she was using was PCI compliant. And probably not even knowing what PCI stood for, why would she? She said, probably, it's new, so it's safe. And it really caught my attention. So I began listening more to how individuals around me and attendees at our small business events were talking about devices. And they almost always associated new devices with being secure. And so I knew I wanted to have a specific misconception on here that addressed the fact that new does not mean secure. And so to do that, I've brought one of my good friends, I've known for a few years now, Jeff Marin, who has been a champion of the small business community and has been a strong supporter of the National Cybersecurity Alliance. And he's with the Cybersecurity and Privacy Applications Group at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. So Jeff Marin, I'm so happy you're here with us to talk about this misconception. I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about yourself and what your group does at NIST.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. Great to be invited onto the bus along on the trip. I've been at NIST for several years now. And like you mentioned, I do spend a bit of my time working on small, medium business outreach. And yeah, we do have quite a bit of collaboration with NCSA, so we certainly appreciate that. Oh boy, as far as what our group does at NIST, well, there's so many things. I mean, many people are working on privacy framework. That's a pretty big initiative right now in our group, developing that NIST privacy framework, sort of modeled after the cybersecurity framework issued several years back. Boy, other people working on smart grid. I do work on smart grid cybersecurity, a lot of work on cybersecurity for IoT. I work on that as well. Voting, cybersecurity for voting, 5G, really the whole gamut. So there's lots of great topics or things for people to get sink their teeth into, whatever seems to float your boat. There's something interesting to do on our team.
You don't get bored, do you?
No.
From the connected light bulb to the critical infrastructure.
Yeah, pretty much the whole gamut.
Nice. Well, speaking of that broad range of things, Marco alluded to a few of the devices, your ISP modem and the Wi-Fi device that's serving the broadband up into the business. And Daniel mentioned the card reader. It's a never-ending list of things, be it devices and applications and software and services that make a business run these days. And maybe, Jeff, if you can kind of lead us through what some of those common ones are, and then maybe shock us with a few that we didn't think about that small business.
In terms of devices?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you mentioned, it can really go the whole gamut. I mean, as far as the topic, devices are secure out of the box. I mean, that misconception, that could really apply to just about any device. I mean, it's not just IoT devices. It could be laptops that the small businesses acquiring, tablets, like you mentioned, the Wi-Fi router, any type of wearable devices maybe they're purchasing. Yeah, I think we just need to keep in mind that from the perspective of the manufacturer, they want devices to be usable out of the box. Usability is great. Of course, we need usability. We need functionality, you know, sometimes in the rush to market. And this doesn't apply to every device, but for many devices, being functional and usable out of the box sometimes means that manufacturers have to configure all the devices in an insecure way just to enable that usability, that functionality. So, yeah, I think that those are some of the things we can talk about here today. Or what are some of those common issues that we see in products that maybe manufacturers, that consumers, I mean, need to be aware of when they get a device out of the box?
Yeah, thanks for that, Jeff. And I think, I mean, we can spend an entire day on this podcast listing all the things. I think what I'd like to highlight are maybe some of the ones that small, medium businesses use. So think about small hospitals and doctor's offices and regional banks and law firms and retail shops. Anything in particular there that we see SMBs using that we should be talking about today as we uncover?
Yeah, I my mind usually comes back to things like Wi-Fi routers. And, you know, I think pretty much, well, probably just about every small business is using some type of Wi-Fi router. Sometimes it's provided by the internet service provider. Other times it's not. They'll just buy it from a store. I think probably one of the biggest concerns with these types of devices would be default passwords that, you know, a manufacturer will often configure by default the same password for all these devices they manufacture. So when a small business, whatever type of business it is, a small medical provider, a law firm, whatever, they pull the router out of the box, they configure it with their modem. You know, it has these default passwords, not only to connect devices to the Wi-Fi network, but even an administrative interface. You know, most of these devices have some type of web interface that you connect to configure the device. And many, many times devices manufactured, you know, by the same service provider, they'll configure them with the same admin username and password. So a lot of these, and this will lead into our next topic of configurations. Many of these devices come with the same default passwords. And, you know, you may have heard in the news just even a couple years ago, some of these botnets like Mirai, you know, attackers, you know, since these devices have default username and passwords that are the same, devices all throughout the world being compromised, because of these default passwords becoming part of this giant botnet and being used to direct distributed denial of service attacks against certain service providers. Of course, the end users of these devices, the owners of these devices, oftentimes don't even notice that anything's wrong. Their device is still functioning normally. I don't know, maybe it's a little slower than usual, but other than that, there might not be any noticeable functionality difference. But things like these default passwords enable many times these devices to become part of a botnet. Or if you don't change the default passwords, it enables somebody else to connect to the administrative interface, log in, and configure the device the way they want it to be, which might not be what you want.
Let me jump in really quickly because I'm thinking about the people listening to us. And again, you know, many times we bring the example of the mom and pop shop, and Daniel talk about a restaurant and so forth, and or a medical studio. The point is, the question they may be asking themselves is why? When they buy something else, they expect it to be fully functional and to a certain extent also safe. Let's say they buy a coffee machine for the restaurant. I don't expect them to have to check the plug to see that they don't get shocked when they turn it on, or a car. You know, I expect the car to be as safe as possible. So what?
It may come with the manual and they throw it away. But many of the things we're talking about doesn't even come with the manual.
But I guess the point is that there are certain standards that in order for that to go to the market, it has to be at least safe in a certain way. So the point is, let's try to maybe explain how we got here. And Daniel may bring example of what kind of question you've been getting about these things and how really people feel in the small, medium businesses, commerce. And Jeff, you can explain us again, how did we find ourselves in this situation? So,
Yeah, those are all good points. I'm not sure I'm an expert on how we got to this point, but I don't think anybody's an expert in that. I mean, certainly a lot of those examples you mentioned, whenever you get into topics of like human safety, yeah, there's going to be regulations that apply to devices. You know, we have things like underwriters laboratories that help maintain safety for certain types of electrical devices. But yeah, that doesn't really seem to be the case for something, in many cases, that's non-tangible, like cybersecurity. I don't know why that is. It might be way above my pay grade. I think from the manufacturer perspective, there's sometimes a race to market. It's about getting your product, for better or for worse, getting your product out before others. Functionality is stressed. Functionality is the most important. We want the product to work. And unfortunately, sometimes there's a conflict between cybersecurity requirements or desires and usability, those types of desires. And unfortunately, sometimes cybersecurity doesn't win that contest, and other requirements take precedence.
And I'll add to that. I think, I see with a lot of consumers kind of two approaches to this. One is, they're a big business. They're probably taking care of my security for me. And the other piece of it is, they already have all my information. So why does it even matter? They being government or big business or whoever. And what we're starting to see, though, is more consumer pressure on businesses, on manufacturers, to create technologies that have more security features, that are more configurable. You're starting to see nonprofits and coming together, consumer review groups coming together to evaluate devices and to put a little more power in the hands of the consumer, which I think is important. But what we have to do with efforts like this podcast and with some of our communications is, how do we become more powerful consumers? How do we become, how do we put more power in the hands of our own selves as far as consumers go, to make sure that manufacturers are creating products that are more secure, more configurable. Because you're right, they want to get it to the market as quickly as possible so that people can break it as quickly as possible, right? But we have to kind of flip that paradigm a bit.
Yeah, and maybe some of it is too, is putting it in terms of why would a small business owner be interested in cybersecurity of devices? When I mentioned those botnets, like Mirai botnet, for many of those people, if their device became part of the botnet, their device still functioned normally for the most part. Some people might have an attitude, well, I mean, my device is still working. Why do I care if my device became part of a botnet? It's not hurting me. It's not hurting my device. But there are many aspects of cybersecurity that, you know, there can be very negative implications to the consumer to an SMB owner in this case. I mean, if your Wi-Fi router has default passwords that you don't change, anybody can connect to your Wi-Fi router. They may become part of your Wi-Fi network that you don't want. And, you know, if they're engaging in illegal activity, that could appear to be coming from your Wi-Fi network, even when it's not your devices. It's not something you're doing, but it's coming from your network. A small business owner purchases new computers, new devices for the business. They have extra unnecessary services. Maybe they're not configured properly. Maybe it leads to your new devices being compromised. Maybe you lose business data. Those can certainly impact a business. So sometimes it comes, you know, sometimes it's about focusing on how can cybersecurity impact a small business owner and making sure that they're aware of that and putting it in terms that means something to them.
Yeah, and Jeff, I'm gonna stick with you for a moment. I'd like your thoughts on this. And it's this idea that, because we're talking about quick to market and then also that device or application being quick to use. So manufacturers don't want to put a big burden or a bunch of roadblocks in place of somebody getting that device up and running. Because if they have a hard time with that, what are they going to do? They're going to return it. This thing sucks. I can't get it to work.
Yeah.
So they set it up in a way that's the easiest possible configuration. There's a default configuration, a default password, default settings, all the services it thinks it will ever need are on there and running and enabled, and those that will cause harm and roadblocks are disabled. And some of those may not necessarily make the device insecure, but it could make it less secure, and turning them on could make it more secure. So what's the role that a manufacturer plays in working with their customers, and in this case, small, medium businesses buying this gear, to help them not just take the device and use it, but understand this is the way it works and we've set it up to you so you can use it quickly, but here are the things you need to do to make it more tailored to your business based on the threat that you face.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, if manufacturers could provide that type of support, whether it's through documentation or videos for end users, that would be wonderful. I don't know if there's always an incentive for manufacturers to do that. You know, it makes me think that I do work quite a bit with cybersecurity for IoT, and that's one of the things that we're focusing on right now. Of course, this is specific to IoT. It's not necessarily specific to small business owners, but it very well could be. But our focus right now is on federal, and you know, we're developing a catalog of what are some desired cybersecurity capabilities, like a catalog of capabilities, and then defining them both in the technical and non-technical. And some of those non-technical capabilities are things provided by the manufacturer, providing that documentation that users need to help configure their devices, to know how it's configured, how they can configure it themselves when they purchase it, what are other types of support the manufacturer provides, whether it's updates for the devices. So the more of these non-technical support capabilities that manufacturers can provide, it's certainly better for the consumer.
So let's talk about the reason why maybe to spend a little bit more time in setting things up it will be a better investment in the future of the business instead of being able to just take it out of the box and be able to plug it in and go. That extra time that you take to set it up in the correct way, it may may make the difference between a breach, between a customer problem, between a business problem and the non-problem. So maybe Daniel, again, I just take your experience on talking to the small business, medium business owners and see what have you heard, and then maybe we can talk about what the solution for this could be.
Yeah, you know, I don't think a lot of business owners are thinking about the security risks of bringing new technologies into their businesses. And same with general consumers bringing technologies into their homes. I don't know if there is enough, and that's a kind of a role NCSA has to play in addition to many other partners, but I don't think there is a lot of conversation around what are the potential risks that we're bringing into our business? What could this particular device, what are the risks that it could open up based upon the features that it has? And so I don't think the conversation is really being had.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes back to, I think people need to see how it can impact them. And like you said, maybe at this point in time, many most small business owners don't see how these types of cybersecurity considerations can impact them. I mean, I certainly do, from, maybe loss of critical data or ransomware. I mean, if you have default configurations on your device that allows your new device you bought to be compromised, maybe ransomware is installed on the device, your new device that you thought was secure is locked, you can't maintain your business, you've lost data, what are you going to do now? So, I think so much of it comes into couching the risk in terms that means something to the small business owner. And like you said, I'm not sure if, of course, it's easy for me to say because I'm not running a small business. I imagine many of them are just trying to keep the lights on. They're just trying to keep the business going. I mean, sure, maybe they would address cybersecurity risk if they had more time, but right now they're just trying to keep the lights on. They're trying to keep business flowing, and it's just not a big concern right for them until something happens.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going to be my next question. Like, one of the job of people like you, Jeff, it's to, in a way, foresee the future, like to make some possible scenario, and together with also what the National Cybersecurity Alliance is doing is, look, it hasn't happened to you yet. Hopefully it will never happen, but there is good chances that it will. So what are some of these scenario, some possibilities that you could envision without being the bringer of fear, but you know, something concrete that is like, look, it may be a little detail, but it may cost your business future. So what are some of the example that you could give to business owners?
Oh, as far as risks, I mean, I think the biggest one these days would be ransomware. I mean, I think probably just about every business owner, small business owner, would have heard of ransomware. Whether they think it could happen to them or not, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think that would have to be near the top of the list. And so many small businesses, and probably just about any business, is founded on information. I mean, if you're a small medical service provider, I mean, your patient's data is critical to providing service. No matter what type of small business is, if you don't have access to the data, how are you going to maintain your business processes, whether it's processing payments, treating patients, whatever it happens to be? Yeah, so yeah, I really think that ransomware would be a key risk to just about any small business owner, or just anything that would, whether it's other types of malware that's, infects new devices that are purchased, that anything that keeps them from critical business processes. So yeah, ransomware certainly comes to mind near the top of the list.
And that's a great answer.
Was that what you were thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely a concrete example and something that may trigger that idea of, okay, I've heard of this. It's hitting near home.
Right.
And I've seen the dumpster fire and the neighbor house. So maybe I need to do something. It could happen to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Thankfully for, some of these things that we're talking about, there's lots of great resources for small business owners, existing resources. We talked about default passwords, default configurations of devices. There's lots of great resources out there from organizations that, provide step-by-step tutorials for, okay, you bought a new device. How can you configure it to improve the cybersecurity, to make it less likely that it'll be compromised, to help protect your business, whether it's a router, whether it's a new computer you bought, whether it's some type of a smart device. When we talk about ransomware, of course, the first thought is, you need to make sure you have some backups in place of your critical data. How do I go about doing that? Well, fortunately, there's great resources out there about backups too. NIST has resources about backups.
I really want to drive the point home, Jeff, and maybe Daniel, you have some things to add on here as well. Is the ransomware example really speaks to availability. You spoke to it in terms of data, but it could also be availability of the device. I'm going to hold this device ransom, or I'm going to hold this data ransom. Mm. And I think small, medium businesses need to look at all the stuff that they buy and use and ask a simple question. What would happen to my business if this thing was no longer available? Can I conduct my business? Can I treat that patient? Can I close that business? The availability is one piece. That the confidentiality is another. What happens if my intellectual property is lost, my secret sauce for my product, or my customer data is lost because of the device, right? And then the last is the integrity of the data. If somebody's able to access my data and perhaps even the state of my systems and change it, am I treating patient incorrectly? Am I charging the customer the wrong amount? Or is the transaction being processed to a criminal's account rather than to my own? So the integrity is another piece. So I think that those three things, if organizations, small, medium businesses can say, these devices, these applications, these services, how would it affect my business if they were to go offline, leak data, or manipulate my data in some way? I don't know if Daniel, that resonates.
No, that makes complete sense. And I think that's exactly what we need to be equipping the small business community with, is some of these questions that they need to be asking to evaluate a device before they purchase it and after they purchase it. How are we going to maintain this device, once we purchase it and it's on our system and it's sitting there? I think all of these questions are really important that business owners and operators need to be asking. And again, it's kind of empowering them to own their role in protecting their business and their devices.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like we need a public service campaign to start going around. I mean, because what you guys are doing at NIST and the National Cybersecurity Alliance is amazing, but I feel like sometimes I really had this urge of saying, we need to really scream it out loud and put it on all the billboards around the town and to really create this situation. Because we talk about this all the time. It's our business to talk security. And again, the small, medium businesses, their business is to make sales and make product and whatever they do best. So
if their customer's happy.
Exactly. So in order to do this, and assuming that hopefully we can scream it loud enough and have as many people hear this, Jeff, some concrete advice and tips on what to do in order to make at least the first layer of defense or the first actions when somebody gets something new, what kind of advice would you give?
Well, I think for just about any device, I think it's worthwhile to check if there's some default passwords. You know, if there are default passwords on the device, you know, you certainly need to change those. For a Wi-Fi router, that would include changing the password, not only for, you know, the access point for devices to connect to it, but changing the default credentials to the administrative interface for the router. I'd say that goes a long way, but I think there could be a lot of different configurations that are needed for a variety of different devices. So I think it will depend in many cases, but, you know, passwords is right near the top of the list. Also check, I mean, many devices that are purchased will have services or functionality that's built into the device by default. Maybe it's for the benefit of the manufacturer, and maybe it's not really needed for everyday functionality. So every type of extra service that's running on a device really increases the attack surface of that device, especially if that service isn't needed by the consumer. So it's really gonna vary, I think. That's why I think it's helpful for consumers to know where they can look to, even if it's just Googling for how to configure X device, what type of documentation is out there, because the configurations are gonna vary. Maybe there's extra default accounts that come built into the device that aren't needed by the consumer. And that's gonna vary by device too, but yeah, passwords are certainly at the very top of the list, I would say.
And I'll add a few. You know, when I think about this question, Marco, I think of it in terms of kind of that triad of people, process, and technology. You know, are your people trained to take care of these devices that they are connecting to your network, whether it's software updates or those strong passphrases or multi-factor authentication? So how are users educated to take care of these devices? And then with the process, right? Do you have processes in place for vetting some technologies? Now for the micro business, it might just be, maybe it's asking a friend who's an information security professional or your IT services provider. There was an instance a few years back where a small hospital system had gone through all the processes and purchased a group of hospital beds that were internet connected. And after they had made the purchase, which as you can imagine is hundreds of thousands of dollars for just one bed, the CISO, the Chief Information Security Officer, came through and said, well, what about this? Nobody ran this through me. So now we have to identify the security concerns and the ramifications of these hospital beds in this small hospital system before we connect them, or maybe we can't connect them. And so, and you can think about that in terms of, you know, a home office too, right? Connecting a personal assistant, which is a listening device. And what is your process for your business for evaluating what you connect to your network? I think that should be a conversation that you have, and there should be a process in place for that. And then the last thing is the technology, right? So that's where we start talking about, all right, now that we have these technologies, what can we use to, now that we have these devices, what can we use to limit their impact if they are compromised in some way? Setting up firewalls and the antivirus software and all of that, making sure their software is updated. So there are specific steps that businesses can take and considerations they should think through as they consider bringing new devices into their home or business. And in many cases now, both are the same. You know, the National Cybersecurity Alliance, we have a lot of resources on staysafeonline.org where you can go to access checklists and information for securing your home offices and securing devices. And Jeff, I know you've brought a few episodes or resources that you'd like to talk about as well.
None in really any particular. It's just that there's lots of great organizations, reputable organizations that have put out resources that I've certainly used in the past when I've purchased a device. I think of the Center for Internet Security, CIS. They have some great resources to help consumers. Hey, I just bought a new router by this manufacturer. How might I configure it? Or I just bought a Windows laptop. what might I want to do to, you know, keep good functionality, but improve the cybersecurity posture of this device. SANS is another organization, that's S-A-N-S. They have great resources too. Just like Daniel mentioned, NCSA has some great resources. And for the federal space, we've tried to, at NIST, we've tried to sort of compile lots of these great resources that other organizations, federal agencies have put together for small, medium businesses on our small business cybersecurity corner. That's really a place where we try to organize them by topic for topics that are of particular interest to small business owners. So those are a few that come to my mind.
Yeah, great resources. I know the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, also has a number of resources.
It's
part of the Department of Homeland Security. And I think the main point is clearly with all these resources, this is something that's important. So pick one or two and take a look as a small, medium business. And I think if you're connecting something to your Wi-Fi or to your network with a wire, chances are, well, it should have a password, and chances are it has a default password. And if it doesn't and you set it to begin with, you should be changing it regularly, I think is the guide and call to action there. So even with just that advice, think about your environment and go back to the CIA confidentiality, integrity, and availability question I had, and think about what could happen to the operation of your business even just by the simple password and lack of 2FA, I think we also discussed. So
I don't think it's a situation where small business owners have to make their devices like Fort Knox. I think in many cases there's very simple, even a manageable number of small changes that consumers need to make to devices they purchase to, I think, make a significant improvement in the posture, the cybersecurity posture of these devices. Changing default passwords goes a long way. Just simple things like that will go a long way to help protect the device. And like you mentioned earlier, too, it all comes back to how is this device going to impact my business? What are my critical business processes? Am I depending on this new device I've purchased to manage or run a critical business process? If so, that's a high level of risk if you're depending on that device to help you keep your business running, as opposed to maybe the new devices providing some ancillary services. So a lot of that just simple risk management thoughts and decisions that small business owners can make to help them manage risk.
Well, Jeff, I think those are incredible simple thoughts, but so effective. Is that fear and that idea that I'm never going to be 100% secure, I may as well not do nothing. And I think, Daniel, this is something that has been driving the entire, almost every misconception, right? It's like, really, we always end up and to say, look, something is way better than nothing. And I think that by repeating from different angle, we'll achieve some of this mentality and cultural switch into even running a small, medium business. And as we're planning to keep doing that, Daniel, why don't you help us close in this conversation with teasing us and our audience with what come next?
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. And, you know, as we think about device security and we think of those basics, right, of, as we had mentioned, updating software, strong passphrases that are not the manufacturer's password, configuring your privacy and security settings, turning off unnecessary features. Those are steps that an individual can take on their own. But as you begin to get into more complex ways to secure your business, oftentimes we see that business owners will outsource that to a managed services provider or to an IT services provider. And the next misconception in particular is on the concept that all IT managed service providers handle cybersecurity. There's this misconception that if they have a a technical capability, if they are IT experts, then that must mean that they're a security expert. And we want to break that misconception down because they're very different fields. Now, there are some similarities, of course, within those, but they're different fields and areas of expertise. And so we want to highlight those differences and help small business owners understand that what they're signing up for when they sign up with a managed services provider and they outsource, and make sure that they're not just making the assumption that their IT managed services provider is providing cybersecurity services for them. That's our bonus episode.
That's the bonus, number 11 of the top 10. And funny enough, every conversation we seem to add more topics to the list, it seems.
So there's an 11th one now, is that right?
There is an 11th one.
I didn't realize that.
And
we said 10, we lied.
That's right. That's right. We just in case that final, we had an egg break along the way on the bus ride. But so that'll be the next episode. We'll probably do a recap after that to just kind of review what we've covered in the top 10/11. And then we have even more that we're going to plan, and that's all going to be about security maturity. So assuming everybody listened to these 11 and have a good baseline understanding of what's needed and why it's needed, then we'll get into some more detailed conversations. We're looking at cloud services, we're looking at budgeting, we're looking at password managers and two-factor authentication. There's a few more topics that are making the list as we move forward, and I'm sure there's no lack of topics to explore there. So stick with us, everybody. It's gonna be a fun bus ride. Keep the wheels moving. Daniel, always a pleasure to have you on. Great to hear you. Jeff, wonderful to meet you and appreciate your insight and all the work you're doing with NIST. And Marco, always
thank you.
Happy to have you on the bus with me.
Yep. I'm gonna drive now. I don't know where we're going. No, it's gonna be moving. To keep using this metaphor, I feel like every week that we get together, we get to something important to say. And as Jeff doesn't get bored in doing what he does, neither do we. Mm-hmm. So to the next one, and Jeff, thank you so much again for bringing.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course.
If you enjoyed this podcast, share ITSP Magazine with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our columns. Thank you for listening.